Hail, Bragi. The warriors are gathered in the hearthship. The yeast's flood flows. As the hounds hunt for scraps and the floor rushes, the ringgiver stands and calls for silence. For now is the time for the blood of Kvasir. Bragi, Odinson, King of Skulls, at this moment the skilled smith of poetry silently calls to you, asks that you guide their tongue, sharpen their wit, and fill them with the confidence to entertain. As poets, as singers, as writers, we call to you, Bragi. We ask that you share but a fraction of your skill with us, that we do not spout the dung of the ancient eagle. Wordsmith, linguist, eloquent brother of the Thunderer, whose weapon is the sword of the gums, we thank you for the gift of the spoken word. Hail, Bragi. The Creation. Burning ice, biting flame. This is how life began. In the south is a realm called Muspel. That region flickers with dancing flames. It seethes, it shines. No one can endure it except those born into it. Black Surt is there. He sits on the furthest reach of that land, brandishing a flaming sword. He is already waiting for that end, when he will rise and savage the gods and whelm the whole world with fire. In the north is a realm called Niflheim. It is packed with ice and covered with vast sweeps of snow. In the heart of that region lives the spring, Verglmir, and that is the source of elven rivers named the Elivagar. They are cool Svol and Guntra, the defiant, Fjorm and bubbling Fimbulthul, fearsome Slid and storming Hrid, Silg, Ilg, Broadvid, and Lipt, which strikes like lightning and freezing Gjol. Between these realms, there once stretched a huge and seeming emptiness. This was Gunungagap. The rivers that sprang from Ferglamir streamed into the void. The yeasty venom in them thickened and congealed like slag, and the rivers turned into ice. That venom also spat out drizzle, an unending, dismal haggard that, as soon as it settled, turned into rime. So it went on until all the northern part of Gunungagap was heavy with layers of ice and hoarfrost. A desolate place haunted by gusts and scuthers of wind. Just as the northern part was frozen, the southern was molten and glowing, but the middle of Gunungagap was mild, as hanging air on a summer evening. There, the warm breath drifting north from Muspel met the rime from Niflheim. It touched it and played over it, and the ice began to thaw and drip. Life quickened in those drops, and they took the form of a giant. He was called Ymir. Ymir was a frost giant. He was evil from the first. While he slept, he began to sweat. A man and woman grew out of the ooze under his left armpit, and one of his legs fathered a son on the other leg. Ymir was the forefather of all the frost giants, and they called him Orglimir. As more of the ice in Gunungagap melted, the fluid took form of a cow. She was called Audulma. Ymir fed off the four rivers of milk that coursed from her teats, and Audulma fed off the ice itself. She licked the salty blocks, and by evening of the first day, a man's hair had come out of the ice. Audulma licked more, and by the evening of the second day, a man's head had come. Audulma licked again, and by the evening of the third day, the whole man had come. His name was Búri. Búri was tall and strong and good-looking. In time, he had a son called Bor, and Bor married a daughter of Bolthor, one of the frost giants. Her name was Besla, and she mothered three children, all of them sons. The first was Odin, the second was Vili, and the third was Vi. All this was in the beginning, before there were waves of sand, the sea's cool waves, waving grass. There was no earth and no heaven above. Only Muspel and Niflheim, and in between them, Gunungagap. The three sons of Bor had no liking for Ymir, and the growing gang of unruly, brutal frost giants. As time went on, they grew to hate them. At last, they attacked Ymir and killed him. His wounds were like springs. So much blood streamed from them, and so fast, that the flood drowned all the frost giants except Berglimir and his wife. They embarked in their boat. It was made out of a hollowed tree trunk, and rode on a tide of gore. Odin and Vili and Hui hoisted the body of the dead frost giant on their shoulders and carted it to the middle of Gnungagap. That is where they made the world from his body. They shaped the earth from Ymir's flesh, and the mountains from his unbroken bones. From his teeth and jaws and the fragments of his shattered bones, they made rocks and boulders and stones. Odin and Vili and we used the welter of blood to make landlocked lakes and to make the sea. After they had formed the earth, they laid the rocking ocean in a ring right around it, and it was so wide that most men would dismiss the very idea of crossing it. Then the three brothers raised Ymir's skull and made the sky from it, and placed it so that its four corners reached the ends of the earth. They set a dwarf under each corner, and their names were East and West and North and South. Then Odin and Vili and we seized on the sparks and glowing embers from Muspel and called them sun and moon and stars, and they put them high in Gnungagap to light heaven above and earth below. In this way, the brothers gave each star its proper place. Some were fixed in the sky, others were free to follow the paths appointed for them. The earth was round and lay within the ring of the deep sea. Along the strand, the sons of Bor marked out tracts of land and gave them to the frost giants and the rock giants. And there, in Jotunheim, the giants settled and remained. They were so hostile that the three brothers built an enclosure further inland around a vast area of the earth. They shaped it out of Ymir's eyebrows and called it Midgard. The sun warmed the stones in the earth there, and the ground was green with sprouting leeks. The sons of Bor used Ymir's brain as well. They flung them up into the air and turned them into every kind of cloud. One day, Odin and Vili and Dwi were striding along the frayed edge of the land, where the earth meets the sea. They came across two fallen trees with their roots ripped out of the ground. One was an ash, the other an elm. Then the sons of Bor raised them and made them one of the first man and women. Odin breathed into them the spirit of life. Vili offered them sharp wits and feeling hearts, and Dwi gave them gifts of hearing and sight. The man was called Ask, and the woman Embla, and they were given Midgard to live in. All the families and nations and races of men are descended from them. One of the giants living in Jotunheim, Narvi, had a daughter called Night, who was dark-eyed, dark-haired, and swarthy as the rest of her family. She married three times. Her first husband was a man called Naglfar, and their son was Ald. Her second husband was Anar, and their daughter was Earth. And her third husband was Shining Deling, who was related to the sons of Bor. Their son was Day, and like all his father's side of the family, Day was radiant and fair of face. Then Odin took Night and her son Day, sat them in the horse-drawn chariots, and set them in the sky to ride around the world every two half-days. Night leads the way, and her horse is frosty-maned Hrimsfaxi. Day's horse is Skinfaxi. He is a gleaming mane that lights up the sky and earth alike. A man called Mundilfari, living in Midgard, had two children, and they were so beautiful that he called his son Moon and his daughter Sun. Sun married a man called Glin. Odin and his brothers and their offspring, the Aesir, were angered at such daring. They snatched away both children and placed them in the sky to guide the chariots of the Sun and Moon, the constellations made by the sons of Bor to light the world out of the sparks from Muspel. Moon leads the way. He guides the moon on its path and decides when he will wax and wane. He does not travel alone, as you can see if you look into the sky, for Moon in turn plucked two children from Midgard, Bil and Hjuki, whose father is Vidfinn. They were just walking away from the well Birgir, carrying between them water cask Sug on the pole Simul, when Moon swooped down and carried them off. Sun follows behind. One of her horses is called Arvak, because he rides so early. The other is Alsvid, because he is immensely strong. The Aesir inserted iron-cold bellows on their shoulder blades to keep them cool. Sun always seems to be in a great hurry, and that is because she is chased by Skoll, the wolf who is always snapping and growling close behind her. In the end, he will catch her. And the wolf that races in front of the sun is called Hoti. He is after Moon, and will run him down in the end. Both wolves are sons of an aged giantess who lived in Ironwood, east of Midgard. After the sons of Bor had made the first man and woman, and set night and day, moon and sun in the sky, they remembered the maggots that had squirmed and swarmed in Ymir's flesh and crawled out over the earth. Then they gave them wits and the shape of men, but they live under the hills and mountains in rocky chambers and grottos and caverns. These man-like maggots are called dwarves. Modsognir is their leader, and his deputy is Durin. So the earth was fashioned and filled with men, giants, and dwarves, surrounded by the sea and covered by the sky. Then the sons of Bor built their own realm of Asgard, a mighty stronghold, a place of green plains and shining palaces high over Midgard. Two regions were linked by Bifrost, a flaming rainbow bridge. It was made of three colors with magic and great skill and is wonderfully strong. All the Aesir, the guardians of men, crossed over and settled in Asgard. Odin, Allfather, is the oldest and greatest of them all. There are 12 divine gods and 12 divine goddesses, and a great assembly of other Aesir. And this was the beginning of all that has happened, remembered, or forgotten, in the regions of the world. And all that has happened, and all the regions of the world, lie under the branches of the ash, Yggdrasil, greatest and best of trees. It soars over all that is. Its three roots delve into Asgard and Jotunheim and Niflheim. And there is a spring under each. A hawk and eagle sit in it. A squirrel scurries up and down it. Deer leap within it and nibble at it. A dragon devours it, and it is sprinkled with dew. It gives life to itself. It gives life to the unborn. The winds whirl around it, and Yggdrasil croons or groans. Yggdrasil always was, is, and will be. Thank you.